Let's just take it from the top. So give me the night, to the beat of the rhythm of the night. The night, the night. Working on a nightmare.
You are listening to Night Vision.
You have been at this for 12 years.
My country, 'tis of thee.
Why are you doing it? Because God's children are not for sale.
Hey, welcome back to Night Vision. On our last show, we sat down with the life director for the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus, Mike Velasco, to discuss the release of the film Sound of Freedom. Sound of Freedom, based on the incredible true story, shines a light on even the darkest of places. After rescuing a young boy from ruthless child traffickers, a federal agent learns the boy's sister is still captive and decides to embark on a dangerous mission to save her. Now, the film has already surpassed $100 million at the box office to make it the sleeper hit of the summer. But more importantly, and perhaps more significantly, it is shedding light on a topic rarely discussed in most social circles: human trafficking. Now, before we move forward, I need to let you know that what follows will be a frank and open discussion about the trauma and issues facing young people, children, and teens in our very own state, and the impact it can have on not just them, but their families and caregivers as well. Joining me today is Michelle Madley. She is the president and chief executive officer at Gibault Children's Services. As CEO at Gibault, Michelle runs and oversees business operations and services. Michelle is a licensed mental health clinical therapist, a certified cognitive behavioral therapist, a certified trauma professional, a clinically certified juvenile sex offender treatment specialist, certified National Council on Accreditation peer reviewer, and Medicaid certified / private insurance billing. She is also an active member on state and national boards. And now that I'm done with that, Michelle, welcome.
Thank you.
I really do appreciate you taking the time. I know you guys are so busy down there in Terre Haute, and it's just incredible what the school does. And we'll get into that in just a bit. But let's talk about that. I mean, I realize now you folks don't deal directly with trafficked children, or do you?
We do. We have a few, and then we have particular assessments that we do at time of admission to screen out whether or not we may be dealing with a trafficked child that we weren't aware of. And then accrediting bodies for all residential treatment facilities require us to have different assessments that we perform for children to determine if they have been trafficked. It's not uncommon for us to receive children into our care for a different issue and then find out that they had been trafficked in the past.
Okay, so I want people to realize, now this is a follow-up. In our last show, we talked with Michael Velasco, who is our life director for the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus, and he and I talked extensively, especially with the release last month of Sound of Freedom. And I think that was an important film because what it did is it brought to the forefront something that we don't normally talk about in this country. It takes place, but we don't really, I don't think we address it. So is there trafficking going on in the state of Indiana?
Oh, absolutely. Most likely. People don't really realize this. A lot of people have a misconception that trafficking is only an international problem. It is definitely a United States problem now, and it's in suburbs, cities, rural areas, and most likely, unfortunately, in your backyard.
Wow. So, and is it in the sex trades typically?
Yes. In sex trade and human trafficking in general is on the rise. But the sex trade, the best way that I can explain this is the sex trafficking that's occurring has now surpassed gun trade, unfortunately.
Wow.
Because guns are sold once or twice, maybe a few times. Unfortunately, a human being can be sex trafficked many times a day.
Really? So what ages are we talking about?
Zero up.
Wow.
So
pregnant mothers.
Yeah. Very young children are unfortunately being trafficked. human traffic in general is on the rise. Sex trafficking, the average age, I believe, for a sex trafficked teen, well, they would be younger than teen. It's about 12 to 13 years of age now, unfortunately.
Incredible. Incredible. And yeah, if you hear some silence, it's because I find it difficult to fathom. I know it happens. And yeah. That's why I think that this discussion is so important. What you guys at Gibault do is so important. And why I think it's important for Knights of Columbus and other listeners to really understand what is going on with some of our young people today. So is this typically something that is happening online now with the advent of the internet?
Yeah, so you just hit the nail on the head right there, unfortunately. Perpetrators are very, very crafty in regard to how they approach children. And we have an increase, obviously, in the use of social media. So our children are being targeted on social media, everything from what we refer to as catfishing. Sometimes there'll be a perpetrator that will present themselves as being maybe a same age peer, and they may talk that person that's a teenager into maybe sending them an explicit picture, and then they will blackmail them. That's one way that perpetrators try to get online to offend children. They seek out children that are at home alone by themselves or do not maybe have active parents. Maybe they like to prey on children that have two working parents and present themselves as being their friend, and then they move in that direction. But we also have I believe 60% of children that are in the foster care system that are runaways end up being trafficked. And it's not just female children and teens, it's female and male that are being trafficked.
Wow. That's so difficult to believe. But I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, 2 or 3 months ago, there was a case where a young teen male had committed suicide, I thought it was, because he was part of a catfishing scheme.
Yes.
He sent a photo, and then yes. He was blackmailed and didn't know what to do, didn't know who to turn to. And yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And I do believe that it's very important for people to understand that trafficking is not just a human being that comes from another country or is poor has a particular social status. A fabulous book for individuals to buy. It's a difficult read, but it is called The Slave Across the Street, and it is written by Teresa Flores. And Teresa came from a very strict, strong Catholic family, very wealthy in Michigan. And she was in a relationship with her very first boyfriend, I think in high school. And the boyfriend and his friends and family were traffickers. So she was unfortunately with this person videotaped, and then the traffickers blackmailed her and threatened to share it with her priest and her parents. And they would traffic her at nighttime. She would leave her home in the middle of the night and meet them, and then she was trafficked. I have met her personally and spoken to her and sat by her at conferences. And she is a phenomenal individual and a great speaker, but she always wants individuals to know that it's not a particular person that can be put into this position. She came from very loving, caring parents. Her dad had a very good job. She lived in an affluent neighborhood, and she was trafficked for a few years. I think it started at around age 15 before her family moved. And I think they moved to Connecticut, and that is the way that she was able to get out of that.
So it's called the Slave Across the Street. And I'm sorry, her name again?
Her name is Teresa Flores, and Flores is spelled F-L-O-R-E-S. It is a little bit difficult read, but it is probably the best book that I know that is out there to really explain to individuals that this could happen to anyone if we're not paying close attention to what's going on with our children.
So clearly the film, Sound of Freedom, has brought this to the forefront. It's not often that we have a difficult subject or difficult subject matter that comes front and center, that we're really faced with. And yeah. I think a lot of people were ultimately very surprised that this was going on. So the biggest challenge right now, and you see it and I see it, and I think at some point or another, we're all to a certain degree guilty of it, is that we allow technology to babysit our kids too much, right?
Yes.
Like my nephew will come over and visit. He'll be, hey, we'll go play catch for a while. And then he's off on his tablet doing something, right? Now, we very much have the safeguards in place and we typically know right. what he is looking at. Because we know this goes on, clearly we try to be more responsible. And it doesn't take, like you said, it doesn't take a lot to get this kind of thing started. So are there signs that parents should look at that will be, you know, some kind of trigger that they'll go, hey, wait a minute, something's up here?
There are actually quite a few signs. We need to recognize indicators of human trafficking, which could be, does the person appear to be disconnected from family, friends, community, or even house of worship? Were they involved in those things? And then all of a sudden they're no longer having an interest. Has the child stopped attending school? Make sure you're checking with the schools that your children are actually attending and that you're checking their grades and making sure that they are there. Traffickers like to prey on that time of day, being able to take the children away. Look for changes in behavior. Does the person have bruises or various stages of healing? Have they become fearful, timid, submissive? Do they have signs of, is their body changing physically? Like maybe they look like they have not had enough food or water or sleep or medical care. A lot of times that will stop. And if parents aren't paying close attention to that, or they're not highly involved, they miss the sudden weight loss or the lack, the no longer sleeping. Is the person in the do they appear to be in the company of someone that seems to be very controlling of them and making decisions for them and answering questions for them? Like maybe your daughter brings home a boyfriend and he's just, he's not letting her speak. He's not letting her answer the questions, or vice versa. Pay attention to that. Do they appear to be coached in any way, the way, what they're saying out loud? Does it appear to all of a sudden, that's not my daughter? Where is that coming from? Is somebody telling this person to say these particular things? Mm-hmm. Need to make sure they're not living in, unstable conditions. Pay attention to whether or not the person is all of a sudden lacking personal belongings, because traffickers will take everything from the person that they are trafficking and sometimes keep it as a form of blackmail, like steal their documents or take valuable things from them. Do they have the ability to move around freely and leave situations? Are they allowed to go to the store by themselves, or is somebody controlling and dominating that situation? And so I'm not saying this just for somebody's own personal children, but pay attention to what's going on maybe with your children's friends, or friends of yours' children, any sure. children that are out there. And when I say children, I'm speaking of, younger all the way up to, age 18, but we know that many can be trafficked after 18. But if you still have a little bit of control over situations, it's good to pay really close attention.
Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that I heard recently, and I think it's a good mantra to have, is that someone once said, we grew up, a generation of parents who want to be their kids' friend, right? And yeah. I heard someone say the other day, your kid's got friends. Be a parent, right?
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Your kid's not always going to like you. You know, you need to, I think, step up and ask those questions. And I think a lot of parents think, well, you know, my kid's okay. And we're, first of all, you're not equals. Don't ever think that you're equals. You're the parent. Right. They're the child. And don't be afraid to ask those difficult questions, because just because something is awkward doesn't mean that, you know, that you shouldn't bring it up. Now, let's say then we find out that son or daughter is maybe involved in a controlling relationship, or a relationship that is leading to some kind of dangerous behavior, or they're being trafficked. Then parents say, hey, I think this may be going on with my kid or one of their friends. Now, what do I do?
Call the police. I mean, you know, call the police and turn that in. There is an actual human trafficking phone number that you can call. All right. So to report suspected human trafficking to federal law enforcement, that number is 1-866-347-2423. And to get help from the National Human Trafficking Hotline, that is 1-888-373-7888.
Does payment in trafficking always equate to cash? Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. Unlike prostitution, right? I mean, but you see my question?
Yeah.
I'm trying to form the correct question, is that just because they're not doing it for cash, there could be some other sort of payment, correct?
Yes. And unfortunately, traffickers, they're often referred to as pimps or dons, unfortunately, D-O-N-S. Mm-hmm. But they will usually train what is referred to maybe as a bottom dollar girl, and they will take that girl and she will be in charge of making sure that the other traffickers bring in a certain amount of funds in a day's time. But they're very crafty as to how they accomplish that. They will start out with very small gifts to everyone. You know, maybe it's a homeless runaway. You know, I'm going to take you for a meal today. And then the next day, I'm going to take you for another meal. And then, well, you're just come stay with me. I'll take care of you. And then they will start to abuse them in some form of way by withholding food or, you know, buying them something special. You know, I knew of this is a little unfortunate situation, but I knew of a girl who her trafficker purchased a bunny for her. But then when she didn't bring in the dollar amount that she was supposed to, he killed the bunny. Wow. So they're very, they brainwash these girls into believing that they're very needed. And so sometimes when a female ends up in a place like ours that is a residential treatment facility, people do not understand why she keeps attempting to run away. She's trying to get back to try to protect others often, because she's been placed in a position of protecting and providing the safety for the other girls. So it doesn't always just involve money when they are beginning to traffic. It can involve a lot of things that mean something to them, and they prey on their emotions. So,
well, and that was my next question. And since you say you do see some kids that are trafficked, what kind of trauma, what types of trauma are you guys seeing there, or what kinds of trauma? When a kid gets out, what are you guys dealing with?
We are unfortunately seeing a drastic increase in children that have been severely traumatized. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect is huge. And what we have entered into is what I refer to as a cycle of trauma. So we have parents that have been traumatized, who are now, maybe not even intentionally, but now traumatizing their children because they haven't developed, their brain hasn't developed correctly to be able to be an appropriate parent. So, you know, the core experiences of psychological trauma are disempowerment and disconnection from others. So when these children come into us, they're very disconnected, and they have unfortunately witnessed so many things around them that are inappropriate, that they often, the best way I describe it is, if you or I were in a situation where we are very fearful, we go into fight or flight mode. These children stay fearful constantly, so they stay in the fight hyper alert mode. So helping them to build a trusting relationship with another human being is the primary focus, because a lot of them have not developed correctly. They've been left in cribs at young ages and not picked up, or they're used to asking a parent a question, maybe they get a very hostile response, but then the next time they get a very calm response. They might be living in homes where there's a lot of drug abuse and domestic violence. So by the time they get to us, really the recovery is pretty much based on empowerment of the survivor and the creation of new connections. And that's really what our job is with these children. Not just children that have been trafficked, but children that have been traumatized in general.
So let's say I'm a parent and I suspect that my child or a friend of the child is in a situation like this. You said call the police. I mean, are there other social agencies? I mean, it's so easy as a parent at that point when you discover it and you have to absorb that, process it, and then say, okay, where do we go from here? What are our options?
Yeah, I always say start looking up every social organization that there is and scream to the hills until you find the right person to assist you, whether that's a community-based social service agency, a private practice therapist, a hospital RN, anybody out there that has any access to resources is where I would begin.
So you start talking and yelling until you get a response from someone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is there any way to stop it, slow it?
I do believe so. I think there's things that we can always do. First of all, obviously at the legislative level, we need to always increase funding so that we can make sure that we have the right police resources and different resources out there to make sure that we are stopping the traffickers. We have to educate as many people as possible about human trafficking. I think that's the number one thing we have to do. If people are aware and they know what to look for, we can decrease it. Will we ever eliminate it? Most likely not, but we can definitely work to decrease it. We need to make sure that people know that human trafficking is very much a hidden crime. Perpetrators of that are very good at hiding it. The victims, they're often afraid to come forward. So as humans, we need to be more aware of what's going on around us. We need to recognize that those who are being trafficked are very, very brainwashed into believing that they are needed by their seller. Their seller convinces them that there's no other way that they can survive, but, you know, only with them. And then we have to understand that, again, that sex trafficking has surpassed gun trade. And that is a very, very scary thought, because human beings can be sold so many times more than a gun can be.
And I think that's why it's so important. And I think that's why, especially, films, especially Sound of Freedom. I'm not getting paid to promote the film. I'm just saying it's a difficult watch.
It should be promoted.
So many people that I talked to who knew nothing about this film and said, oh, Jim Caviezel's in it, I love him. And they went to go see this movie and came out saying, I had no idea.
Yes.
And they were absolutely shocked. And they were shocked that it happens in this country. And they were shocked that it happened to children 3-4 years old. They mm-hmm. can't fathom that. Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. I think as long as it hides in the darkness, people will be powerless to change things. And I think you're absolutely right that that educating folks has got to be, you know, one of the number one things that we need to do moving forward. The name of the book that you talked about is by Teresa Flores. It's called The Slave Across the Street. We will pass that along. This is fascinating, and I think it's something we need to continue to talk about. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I appreciate your time. I'm glad that you took the time to talk with us, and I look forward to doing it again. And we certainly wish you guys the best at Gibault, and thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Nice talking to you.
How'd that make you feel? Giving a child his freedom.
Felt good.
You have been at this for 12 years.
My country, 'tis of thee.
Why are you doing it?
Sweet land of liberty.
Because God's children are not for sale.
It is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen.
We're Homeland Security. You know we can't go off rescuing Honduran kids in Colombia.
This job tears you to pieces. And this is my one chance to put those pieces back together.
And yet somehow, you have failed to bring me one real world lead.
It's over, Tim. Close up and come back home.
So you quit your job and you go and rescue those kids.
South of that river is all rebel territory. No one goes in.
What if this was your daughter?
She's gone.
Hear that? That's the sound of freedom.
Honor, integrity, courage, Catholic. If these words define your character, the Knights of Columbus wants you. Will you answer the call? Are you at least 18 years old and a practicing Catholic? Do you possess a servant's heart with a desire to serve your parish family and local community? Immerse yourself in the rich history of the Knights and enjoy the benefits of membership. Become part of a Catholic fraternal organization that Pope John Paul II referred to as the right arm of the church. That's a pretty strong endorsement coming from a saint. To learn more about how you can join the Knights of Columbus or for more details, contact your parish pastor or go to IndianaKOC.org.
Night Vision is a presentation of the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus and Catholic Radio Indy. Night Vision is produced by Z Media Studios in South Bend, Indiana.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.